Well, good morning, everybody. Well, isn't it good to just gather together in the dryness? It looks like it might rain out there. Hope you brought your umbrella. But gather together to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's pray this morning just to invite him into this service. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and freely worship you together. Lord, we pray you be in every part of this service, Lord. Just let your spirit rest upon us, be in the music and the message, Lord, and everything else. God, in all you do, we'll give you all the praise, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Are you ready to sing this morning? Yes. Well, Tammy is. Yeah. Amen. Let's sing, oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, grateful I sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Tell of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Measureless might, infallible love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen. I'm thankful that he's our defender, redeemer, and also our friend. Amen this morning. Isn't it nice to have Lori back playing the piano this morning? I tell you what, I miss it. Sometimes I told Tammy, my arm is a little out of shape from waving it around because I'm just over there using my fingers on the piano. But so nice to have you back, Lori. Thanks for being willing. Her eyes still aren't all there, but she's doing it anyways, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it this morning. Let's sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet to love. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, and mount of thy redeeming love. And here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interpose his precious blood. And oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my yielded heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. But here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Thank you for your good singing this morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing out there? What a day to be in the house of the Lord. Got a good speaker today that we're going to announce or introduce shortly, who needs no introduction. But I just wanted to share something with you. I was looking around the other day for something profound, and I found an article that said the average human being breathes 20,000 breaths a day. Everyone a gift from God. So think about that when we're out walking around and you're taking a breath. Thank you, Lord, for every breath I take. It's from you. Good morning. I look out about us and I see that we have some new visitors with us today. We want to welcome you for sharing the morning with us and the Lord's gift that our pastor's about to bring. If you want after service, we have a little gift for you that we'd like to give to you. Back in the back, there's a table back there in the corner that we have these on. We'd like to get to know you and give you a gift. If you will look at the screen, we're going to go over. We have a few announcements coming up. October Missions Prayer Focus is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We're going to be working with them coming up shortly. I should just do that. Just look at that. Nettles Island Church Directory. On the back table, if you haven't downloaded the app yet in your phone, you want to, there's information on the back that you can do it yourself, or Miss Tammy will be glad to assist you. She's a whiz at it. I had to have her do mine because I don't have that chip in me, and she does that. She can do all of this stuff. So back on the table or with her. All right. We're coming up with some of this is old. The elevator offering curtains and greeters. We have sheets back there for those of you who are coming back and those of you who are new. We do need help. We have two services coming up in December or the first of the year, and we will be needing volunteers to help at the doors and everything. But we come up with something new, the rideshare drivers. We have individuals on the island who cannot get to church but would come to church if someone could be so gracious and pick them up. So we're going to compile a list of those individuals who need a ride. And then if you would volunteer, if you're close or whatever, you'd like to pick them up, we would truly appreciate that if you would handle that for us. And we'll coordinate that. We'll get that all together. Next, Sunday the 13th is Communion Sunday. We're going to be taking our communion up and benevolence. This is our quarterly benevolence offering to where we share. And I believe this is going to be going to Billy Graham. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. I have another one coming up. But yes, it's for the island, people in need that we help out. So we will be taking our offering up next week for benevolence. And this couple here, we all know they're near and dear to our heart. This is their granddaughter, Nora Rose, who was dedicated to the Lord yesterday. I see two very, very happy grandparents and a great granddaddy. She has so much to look forward to in those arms. Trust me, that's a building. Oh, wow, okay. That's the great-great, so I stand corrected. Alrighty. Now, next 2 weeks, we're going to be taking up an offering. That's going to be for Billy Graham, Samaritan's Purse. They have boots on the ground all over where we're helping people. They're going into wherever there's help needed. They're taking precious supplies and trying to meet the needs of the people who from Hurricane Helene. And I understand we have another one in the Gulf. So, Lord's with us. God's got this, but we're going to need your help and support in 2 weeks on Sunday to help us with that. Thank you.
Amen. We're going to sing a little bit and worship a little bit more this morning. Amen. Let's sing together, "Here I Am to Worship."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. And humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Sing it out. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise. You are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
And I worship you, Almighty. What I want to do, I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Lord, in your word it says you inhabit the praise of your people. It also says to come before you with any need that we might have, Lord. And there's several needs represented here this morning. Lord, we pray for Laurel as she's recovering from her surgery. Lord, we praise you for the progress she's made. We pray you that you continue to heal her, Lord, and to touch her, Lord. Lord, all of our hearts go out to the hurricane victims and the devastation that that's caused. Lord, you know about this. You know and you care, Lord. And we pray for all those that are affected by that this morning, Lord. We pray for Jack Wilbaum and that need there, Lord. You know all about it and you care. God, and you see all these other needs on this list. And you know about each one. You know what each one is going through and what they need, Lord. And we're thankful that you're the God that cares and knows. and you're a healing God. Lord, we praise you for this life of this little baby Nora. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that the parents are desiring to dedicate it to you, Lord. We just pray a touch over this little one's life, Lord, that you just bless him and use him. Use it for your kingdom. God, in all these things, we'll not fail to give you all the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And now, it's my pleasure to introduce Pastor Bill Volpe. He's going to bring our word to us today.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you. Good job. Hi, everybody. I was looking at that volunteer list that, you know, they're asking for volunteers. I was thinking I'd like to be an elevator. I don't want to take people down. I want to bring them up. How about you? All right. Well, another storm on the horizon. Thank God that God is in charge, right? We need to pray that there's not a lot of damage and suffering and death. People are protected. I just feel so bad for that West Coast, man. Jeez. But, well, the Lord is good. He's always good. We're gonna go into a scripture here from Matthew 7 this morning. Judge not. And see what Jesus had to say about judging. And the Bible says, starting in verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. How many don't want to be judged? Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, Billy. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In this short passage, Jesus seems at first to be emphatic that we're not to judge others. When we judge, we call judgment down upon ourselves. That's pretty alarming, especially since I'm not sure it's possible to be a judgment-free person. Anybody in here come to a place where you never ever judge? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I know I haven't gotten there yet. I'm working on that. I mean, without even trying to judge, it seems to come naturally. Especially in checkout lines at the grocery store and on the roadways. And this always seems to happen to me. I'm about to preach on something, and the day before, God shows me that I need the sermon more than you do. Yesterday, I was at Aldi. I had just left the gym, and my wife called me and said, run over to Aldi, get some spinach, fresh spinach, and this type of bread. And my Paula's son and daughter and grandson are staying with us for the weekend, and I knew they were already starting breakfast. I was kind of in a hurry. And I get in line, and the line, you know, Aldi's changed to self-checkout now a lot. And so I'm standing there, and, you know, everybody has all these groceries, and finally checkout number five opens up. And there's two, a lady and a younger lady standing there, and they're just talking, and they're next in line. And I keep looking at that checkout five, and it's open, and they're not moving to it, and we're waiting to, you know, get through. And finally, I'm judging them, right? What is wrong with these people, you know? Get over there. There's people behind you. Don't you care about anybody else, you know? And finally, I go, checkout five's open. And they still didn't even hear me, and they ended up going to some other one that opened up a few seconds later, and then this other guy in front of me went there. So, you know, I'm you know, thinking, wow, what a creep I am. And then I go to Home Depot, and I go to the self-checkout, and I get right to the checkout thing, and guess what? I scan my item, the stuff you pour in your AC pipes to keep them clear. I scan my item, and I look, and there's two other things scanned on my order, WD-40, two cans of WD-40. I'm thinking, I don't have any WD-40 here. I'm not buying WD-40, and I'm going through the process of trying to unload that WD-40 off the checkout screen, and I can't do it. Well, I turn around, and there's people standing there looking at me. So I deserved that, all right? Nobody knows how to drive, right? Especially when they're in front of you. They don't know how to drive. I know how to drive. They don't know how to drive. I was at Donald Ross Road and Park Avenue about 2 weeks ago, and I'm behind this big SUV, so I can't see much of, I can't really see anything but the backside of this SUV. The light turns green. We're trying to go right, and the SUV just sits there. And here I go. Ah, they must be looking at their cell phone. You know, they're looking. They're not paying attention. Started judging. And I actually went, boop, hit my horn, which I don't usually do, but I don't know. I was not walking close to Jesus at that moment. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy walking across the crosswalk. If that person would have listened to me when I told him to get moving, they'd have mowed that poor guy down who was coming across the crosswalk. There I was again, stuck in my own self, sin and pride and everything else. We all have these moments where we don't even have to try, right? It just kind of flows out of us. You know, you come up to a stop sign, there's somebody there that says, need food, need money, kids at home, and what do? We start playing out their whole life in our mind, like we know everything about them and why they're there and how we're not going to give because they're just going to go buy beer or drugs, right? It's hard not to judge. You watch the news, the politics, the people that are talking, and whatever they say, you put them on a side. You put them in an arena, the left, the right. Social media, it's a place where it's become like a personal courtroom. People just, they read something somebody says and they just judge them right there and make comments and tell them how terrible they are and what a loser they are and what an idiot they are. And they've never even seen the person. They're doing it in the shadows of their house on their cell phone. They post their judgments. But Jesus says, judge not. Judge not. It's tough. But then in verse 5, he talks about seeing clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So there's this sense that we can evaluate a person's situation and make a judgment and mercifully step in to remove the speck. So we want to look a little deeper here in these five verses into the wisdom of Jesus in this section of his Sermon on the Mount. Keep in mind, this follows on the heels of Jesus' radical teaching several passages earlier about love for enemies, okay, earlier. So verses 1 and 2, judging from contempt, Jesus seems to be laying out the danger of blindly judging another person out of contempt and without mercy. The Greek word for judge in verse 1 is krino. And its root, its meaning is to try, to condemn, to punish, to conclude, to condemn. I said that already. To damn somebody, to sentence somebody. And this kind of judgment is exalting oneself to the position of judge, jury, and hangman. For instance, out of my own self-righteous, I strike the gavel and I call down a final sentence on another person. Bottom line, I'm taking the place of God, who is the only one with full knowledge of truth regarding any person or situation, qualifying him alone to judge justly and rightly at all times. You see, with our very limited ability to know the whole truth about someone and their circumstances, we don't possess the qualifications or the right to assume this position that God holds. And Jesus says, don't step into that position. This isn't for you. Judge not. Don't judge like this. And he says, when you measure out judgment like this on others, what you do is you call down that same unjust judgment upon yourself. In Proverbs 20, verse 10, it says, false weights and unequal measures. False weights and unequal measures. The Lord detests double standards of every kind. Anytime we step into this place that only God deserves, we're stepping in there with unequal measures. And God detests that. In Luke 19, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. He talks about a man of noble birth who gives 10 servants money to put to work while he's gone to a distant country to have himself appointed king. And when he returned, he received an accounting of these people that he gave this money to. And he found that one grew the money by 100%, another grew the money by 50%, and another, sadly, didn't put the money to work, but just kept it laid away, hidden, protected, so he didn't lose it or didn't get stolen in a piece of cloth. His reason for this servant, he looked at the king when the king questioned him on this, and he said, I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. So what did he do? He judged the master. He judged the king. He said, you're a hard man. You take stuff that doesn't belong to you. I know what kind of dude you are. I wasn't going to risk that money. I know what would have happened to me. So I just hid it. And the judge replied to him, I will judge, not the judge, the master. I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. And he took the money from him and gave it to the one who doubled his. The word judge here, when the master says, I will judge you, is the same Greek word as we have in Matthew 7, 1, krino. The same measure of judgment the servant used, the king returned upon him, using that servant's own words against him. So he measured it right back to him the way the servant measured against the master. An an equal measure. And it came right back to him. And this type of judgment, krino, is not flowing from a position of love, but of contempt for another person. We step in front of God, the only true and wise judge. We push him off the courtroom bench. And we try and condemn and punish someone out of contempt that is in our own heart. This is a loveless act. And Jesus says, judge not like this. In Romans 2, 1 to 4, I think it's on your bulletin, actually. It says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. I know I do, man. I sit there not long after that person in the SUV. I was sitting at a light looking at my cell phone, and somebody had to beep at me to get me to move. Here I am. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. See, God has all the truth. So when you, a mere man or a person without all the truth, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Wow. That's a lot in there. That's a lot in there. Have you ever been misjudged? Anybody? Anybody here ever been misjudged? It's not easy to take, is it, when you're misjudged? And I find that many times when I've been, or sometimes when I've been misjudged, I'm left helpless to exonerate myself. I want to exonerate myself, but I don't have the means to do it or the opportunity to do it. And then I have to go on knowing that what a person has concluded about me, even though it isn't true, can't be overturned in their mind. And they're going to go on misjudging me in their mind like that unless somehow they learn the truth. And isn't that a sickening feeling? Especially if it's somebody that means a lot to you, or you care a lot for, or have a relationship with. And knowing our own need of God's grace and mercy for our unrighteousness, and having been wrongly judged by others, should lead us to being extra careful not to judge others in this unloving way. And I got to thinking about this, kind of the other side of this. If measuring out contemptuous judgment on another boomerangs back upon me, gets measured back to me, all right? Could measuring out good and positive and kind judgments upon others also come back to me? What do you think? Do you think that's possible? Do you think the law of sowing and reaping could be at work? That if we choose to judge lovingly, even though we don't have all knowledge about a situation, but choose the positive route, choose the loving route, choose kindness and goodness when we, in our mind, make a judgment or an evaluation, that could be measured back to me and to you. So I'm going to try to do that, you know. So that's the kind of judgment that comes back on me. What do you think? All right. All right, so judging from contempt, Jesus says, judge not, judge not. But then, if we look down further in verses 3 through 5, we see that when Jesus says judge not, he doesn't mean that we never ever evaluate a situation and step in, okay? Because he talks about it here in verses 3-5. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Judging from mercy. How many have ever heard of the decision-making game called rock, paper, scissors? I gotta say, I don't know that I've ever played rock, paper, scissors. I've seen it played a lot, but I don't know the hand motions, so I never got to play in it. I mean, I guess it can't, rock, right? Is this paper or is this paper? 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 Is this scissors? Okay, well, that I should have played. Okay. Anyway, rock, paper, scissors. Paper beats rock. Rock beats scissors. Scissors beats paper. I had to look up why paper beats rock. I couldn't get that into my head, okay? How can paper beat rock, okay? But then it said in there that the paper gets on top of the rock, and I don't know how that beats it, but somehow it beats it. Well, I was thinking about here, I was thinking about speck versus plank, okay? And I thought, plank always leaves us the loser, okay? The Greek word for speck is karphos, and it means a dry twig or straw or mote. If you read the King James Version, it says the mote in your brother's eye, okay? And here in the NIV, it's speck of sawdust. In another version that I was reading, it says splinter. So like a speck of sawdust or splinter, just something very small in a person's eye. And then the Greek word for plank is dokos. And it's meaning is a stick of timber or a beam. A beam, a plank. All right, so everybody look up here. You see that beam? You see the beams? Right? So that's a beam. Think about that in your eye, okay? Oh, my word. And then compete that with a piece of floating dust in someone else's eye. I mean, I've been walking like through a parking lot, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something will go boop and just pop right into my eye. Okay, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you're just trying to get that. It's so little, you can't see it, but you can sure feel it, can't you? And you're trying to get it out of your eye, but it's just a speck, and it comes out of nowhere. You think, I got this whole body here, and it found my eye. How did it do that, you know? But Jesus is using hyperbole here. He's almost trying to make us laugh a little bit, okay? I mean, you picture somebody with that hanging out of their eye versus somebody with a little piece of dust or sawdust that you really can't barely even see if you try. And he's saying this in this way to make sure that we don't lose sight of our own shortcomings and sinfulness before we venture into the realm of judging or confronting another person to help or rescue them from their own circumstance. However, Jesus does keep the door open for this type of judging. Okay? But he says, pay attention to the plank. Pay attention to the plank. So before confronting another person to mercifully judge or help, we need to look in the mirror. We need to look in the mirror, see if we got one of those hanging out our eyeball. We should ask ourselves, what are my motives? Are they arising out of love for this person? Do I truly, truly want to help this person, bring healing to this person? Or do I just want to make them aware of their shortcomings? Because I don't think they know. Do I want to humiliate or do I want to elevate? Do I have anything in my own life, a plank of sorts, that I need to bring to the foot of the cross? It's important that the eyes of my heart are free of all debris that might be blocking my ability to see clearly into another person's life and circumstance, to lovingly evaluate and confront and help. Jesus teaches that we must self-reflect and deal with our own stuff so that we can see clearly to remove the speck from our brother's eye. And I think if we always come from the viewpoint of how large my own faults are, all the planks that I have in my eye and in my life compared to others, and see theirs as specks, it's going to keep me in check. You agree? I like how the message reads here. It says, it's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Let me say, if we know another brother or sister is steering down a wrong path, or living or acting in a way that is self-destructive or destructive to others, we may very well be led of the Spirit to lovingly and mercifully confront. After all, letting a person continue on a wrong path to their own ruin is not acting in love either, is it? But we must tread lightly and humbly, seek the wisdom and discernment of the Lord as we are led to help another in this way. It says here in Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. So, this is what I thought about for closing this morning. Can we take a one-day challenge? Just a one day. I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on you, okay? I don't want to put it on me either. A one-day challenge. To go through one whole day without passing false measure judgment on any person or situation in real life or on TV or on social media or the internet, any individual you come across, do not pass judgment. Now, I don't know how easy that's going to be, but maybe if we wake up tomorrow, it's too late today, okay? We probably already did it, all right? But maybe tomorrow morning we wake up and we say, okay, I'm not going to pass judgment on others in other situations. All right, we start fresh. A booster shot. Now, I'm going to give you a booster shot to help you, okay? Replace judgment. So you're in a situation tomorrow. Your mind, mentally, something starts to come into your mind about someone or some situation. Replace that. Even mental thought judgment, because most of the judgments that we have just kind of pop into our brain, right? Replace that by breathing a prayer of mercy and blessing over the person, and then topping that off with a smile, okay? So you start to feel that urge, that or some thought starts flowing into your head, we'll give you a second to get control on it, okay? And then just say, Jesus, have mercy on that person. Bless him or bless her today. Let the favor of God rest upon them. I don't know what's going on in their life. May they receive your hug today, Lord Jesus. Just a short little prayer like that. And then if you catch their eye, just give them a smile. It's going to be pretty hard to negatively judge somebody out of contempt when you're praying for God to bless them. You agree? All right, so that's a little booster shot to help you tomorrow. I'm going to use that too, okay, as we go through this one-day challenge. And if you can make it through tomorrow, try to do it the next day, okay? Another thing that I think can help us is begin each new day expressing humble gratitude to the Lord for the mercy and patience and kindness that He has extended to us throughout our lives. Man, when I was undeserving, how many times God must have been going, dude, get it together. I mean, I'm pretty patient, but come on. Now He is. He's real. He's kind. He's patient. He's loving. He's good. He's done that so many times for me. How can I step onto His bench and make a judgment and slam the gavel down when I've needed His mercy time and time and time again? Think of Calvary and all that Jesus finished for you there. Just think of the cross. This is going to go a long way to expressing mercy in place of contempt for others. When you feel led to lovingly remove a speck from someone else's eye to help them, first check your own heart and motives to be sure you're operating in love and mercy and not from wrong motives or self-righteousness. And then last, pray that God gives you actions and words of wisdom and gentleness and empathy toward them, to lead them to awareness and bring healing and restoration. Judge not. God help us, right? He will, if we allow Him, if we want Him to. And I want Him to help me. I really do. And I pray that you'll let Him help you too. Let's join together and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You're such a wise, wise judge. Somewhere in the Old Testament, someone said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" You always do right. Lord, we're not like You. We're not You, though. We are asked to be like You, but we're not all there yet. And we need You, Jesus. We need Your help. We need the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit to fill our lives so that we can walk in a worthy manner as you've taught us to, Jesus. We are to be elevators. We're not to bring people down and judge with contempt, but to lift people up, to love people, to restore people, to help people. Lord, let it start inside of us. Lord, let us be willing to look in the mirror today and see that plank sticking out of our own eye, our own life, and be willing to say, Jesus, I need help with that. Please, Jesus, help me. Help me to get that out of my life so that I can be a blessing to others. God, forgive us of our sin today. Forgive us of our wrongdoing. We need your mercy and your grace. We need the blood of Jesus to be applied to our heart and our life every day. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for saving us, for forgiving us when we didn't deserve it. And let us project that everywhere we go every day upon others, that same grace, that same mercy toward others. God, we love you. We love you and thank you. Thank you for Nettles Island Church and each person here and each member. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing here. Continue it, Lord. Let your river of life flow out from this church to the mission field around us. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Amen. Great sermon. Amen. Stand with me as we sing the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom
dismissed.